From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says all everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever the cape wearing, polo wearing,
hey,
forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes, usually past couple months here. Kind of been wearing the flannel or the hoodie, but the weather's so dang nice here today, Bob, in where we're at, the region, just outside the Chicagoland area. I figure, well, why not break out the polo? But still, no matter if you have the polo on, you always got to have the cape. So a polo cape combo here tonight on Bob After Dark. Not bad.
Polo cake?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Yeah.
Hello.
I'll take that.
Hello, Cal Panic.
Hey, how's it going, Bob? Good to see you once again.
It's good to see you, Cal Panic. It's really good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
Yes, weekend update from you.
Bob, it was a good weekend. It was a solid weekend. Again, as always, the weather seems to be dreary, which, being a vampire like myself, I don't mind the dreary weather. But, you know, once the weekdays hit, then it gets nice and sunny and everything kind of pops back up, and that's fine by me. But the weekend itself, a very solid weekend, a very restful weekend, so I can't complain. We're starting to turn the tide here, though, with the weather, Bob. So, you know, for a guy like me, a vampire like me, I know I hate being out in the sunlight for the most part, but sometimes a little bit, just a little bit, is pretty nice.
Sounds great. Did you do anything exciting this weekend?
Nothing exciting whatsoever, but it was very restful, Bob.
You know, I, you want my weekend update?
Bob, I want to hear about your weekend.
So, my weekend update, I saw two movies this weekend, which is unusual for me. I never have time to physically sit down and enjoy my first love, which has always been cinema. It's always been the movies. So, I got to watch two this weekend.
What'd you see?
I watched King Kong versus Godzilla.
Okay.
Which I thoroughly enjoyed.
You know, I did see that.
It was a lot of fun. Giant monster movie, two giant monsters fighting. Three, I won't spoil too much, but three giant monsters fighting at one point.
At that point, Bob, who cares about the script?
You know, the plot was wacky. Yeah. There was a lot of fun moments, but you don't watch a movie like that for the drastic storytelling, right?
No.
But, you know, and you turn that movie on mute if you want and just watch the fights. It was cool. It's cool.
It's good
that.
Enough, Bob.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
It won the Oscar, I thought.
It did not win any Oscars. Okay. I'll get to that in a second.
The only movie I saw.
And then I saw Mortal Kombat.
I didn't see that.
I had HBO Max, man. Sponsor us, by the way. HBO Max had the Mortal Kombat available. You can either go to the movies or you can watch it on HBO Max. And I was like, busy, so let's just sit down on the couch and watch Mortal Kombat, and I liked it. I don't really have much more to say other than I liked it. It was fun.
I hear mixed things, Bob, and here's
the thing. Definitely one of those types of movies where it's like a mixed bag.
Yeah.
It's not, again, not one of those movies you watch for the plot. The plot on that one was all over the place. They were developing, like, new lore for the concept of Mortal Kombat, like the video game franchise. It was fun. I liked it. It was, you know, one of those, it's a popcorn flick. You turn it on, you eat some popcorn, and you just watch fights with martial arts.
But you can't please everybody, Bob. I mean, no matter what you do in a movie, it's going to upset some people. But I hear overall good reviews about it.
It was fun. Yeah. I liked it. So that was my my big thing I got to enjoy over the weekend. My third thing, I watched the Academy Awards on Sunday.
Where Godzilla and Kong was not nominated.
They were working on the 2020 movies.
Oh, I guess so. You're right.
So
Sonic the Hedgehog.
It was not nominated for anything. Oh. The two big blockbuster hits of 2020, which would be Tenet and Sonic the Hedgehog. We're not a movie podcast. I promise this is going to be very brief.
No.
But Tenet got nominated for a couple things. They won, I think, two things, if I can recall.
Bob, if it's not in the movie theaters, I don't pay attention to it. Gotta put it out in the movie theaters.
Yeah, well, it's tough last year. We
I
didn't
know, I know.
But I, you know, for what it's worth, I, you know, over the years, my love for film kind of takes a back burner. You know, I'm a podcaster for a pseudo full-time living. You know, I pump a lot of time into the show every week. I work on the podcast. I work on the live show. I have a day job. I caretake. It's the life is a little hectic, so I don't get a chance to sit down and enjoy movies as much as I used to. But every year, I always dedicate a few hours of the time to make sure I celebrate my love for film and the people that, you know, also love film for the Oscars. And this year, there were a lot of up downs and all arounds, a lot of political speak, which is good. I think there was a lot of things in that ceremony that were very important and needed to be said. And that's good. I'm going to be completely honest, I did not see any of the films this year, just not by lack of choice, just by lack of time. Usually I try to sit down and I get a chance to watch the Best Picture Awards of nominees. I just didn't get a chance this year.
You know what the problem with the Oscars is, though?
What's that, Calvin?
No paranormal movies.
No, you know, and that's it's a good place to think about. You know, the closest thing we ever got to like horror films being nominated for the Academy Awards, The Exorcist, I believe, was nominated at one point. Hannibal, not Hannibal, I'm sorry, Silence of the Lambs was Anthony Hopkins won that one for you know, supporting actor for being on the screen for like 5 minutes.
People forget that. It wasn't that long of a
He
time
was,
he was
no,
on
he
there.
was not on the
Oh,
screen very long, but Anthony Hopkins stole the show with that one.
yeah.
So that's so no, the love of horror does not get shown too much at the Academy, and I mean that's a shame, honestly, a
Yeah.
very big shame. But either way, I enjoyed the Academy Awards. It wasn't the best ceremony. I mean, you could tell that they were doing what they could with the whole
They weren't at Applebee's, weren't
pandemic.
they?
Yes, they. I mean, it wasn't an Applebee's.
Restaurant or something like
It's
that.
an Applebee's.
Well, it looked like a restaurant, you know, like an Applebee. Well, one of those
An
places.
Apple. How many Applebee's do you go to that look like that?
Well, they got round tables and it looked. It was more of a restaurant, wasn't it? It
It
wasn't like a
had like
theater.
a, it had a feel like it was more like a, you know, a gathering among friends than it was like an
Yeah,
actual
it
awards.
didn't
But you got to
feel
do what
like
you got to
it.
do. It's a
Yeah,
pandemic. I get
sure.
it 100%.
Of course.
So it was an interesting award ceremony, but that was my weekend in a nutshell.
Not bad, Bob. Not bad. A very movie-themed weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Count Panic.
Yeah.
Enough about our weekends. Let's talk a little bit about Bob After Dark.
All right.
This is a show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural. We are your weekly take on the world of the paranormal. We split the show up into halves. Our first half of the show is dedicated to the wonderful world of news, which this is where the paranormal news that you, the fans, send in or that we find online, and I read the news article word for word, and we get the hashtag panics take. That's where Count Panic doesn't know any of the articles going into it, on the rare exception that he might bring in a news article. But we talk about the weird, spooky news of the week, and then we dive into the lore of the week.
All right. That sounds good to me.
You know, Count, we have a very big announcement happening this week.
It's happening.
We have an announcement. It's
Okay.
the announcement's coming in the next couple of minutes.
I'll be
I'm not going to
prepared.
be the one announcing it. I'm
No.
going to let somebody else do the
I'm not
announcement.
announcing it, am I?
You're not. No,
Because I don't even know what it
we're
is.
going to let somebody else do it.
Okay.
I'm tired of making the announcement sometimes. I
Okay.
want somebody else to do the announcement.
All
So,
right.
coming up in just a few short minutes, folks, we're going to be taking a call from a very special person who's going to talk about a very special announcement regarding Bob After Dark.
All right. Well, I'll
So,
be ready.
absolutely. So why don't we dive right into our first news article of the week?
All
It's
right.
this one's a real simple one. I actually found this one. I thought it was a little bit more humorous based on just the just the way the title was.
Okay.
This was on Coast to Coast website. It was one I found, and it was Chewbacca wanted by cops in New Orleans.
Chewbacca.
Chewbacca, the character from the Star Wars franchise,
And
is
he's wanted
wanted.
by cops.
Absolutely. He's wanted by the New Orleans Police Department. Okay. So the odd thing about the New Orleans Police Department, I read the article and I was just like, okay, so we're going to read this. And I think the caller is going to be calling in just a minute. So I'm going to read the news story and then we'll get Panic's take after the
Sure.
phone call. So, in an odd story out of New Orleans, authorities say that a street performer dressed as Chewbacca got into an altercation with another individual and wound up stabbing them. According to a bulletin issued by police, the strange incident occurred on the Saturday evening city famed French Quarter. Cops say that the fake Wookiee wound up in a verbal disagreement with the victim that quickly escalated into a scuffle. It was during the bizarre brawl in the iconic Star Wars character turned to the proverbial dark side and allegedly abandoned their lightsaber in favor of a knife. Included in the announcement by the police was a picture of the performer in their Chewbacca costume. While one might think that it would be difficult to identify the suspect, it stands to reason that there probably aren't all that many people running around the French Quarter dressed as the beloved character. Narrowing things down a bit more, cops say that the head of the costume actually fell off during the brawl, and witnesses reported that the perpetrator, was a man in his 20s. As one might imagine, news of the crime broke out in a slew of Star Wars jokes from people on the social media and suggesting the cops search a bar in Tatooine or perhaps the nearest forest moon on Endor. I don't want to take a stabbing lightly. I really don't, folks.
But Chewbacca was
It's not wise to upset a Wookiee.
No.
It's not. That's not a Star Wars quote. This is more on the weird side than it is like our news stories, because our news stories are typical spooky, paranormal, weird advances in science that are borderline on science fiction, space stuff. This is like completely different out there, borderlines on true crime, I guess. But the news, the article itself caught my eye so much that I had to talk about it because it's Star Wars and Chewbacca got mad and stabbed a person.
Now, to be clear, that's not the picture you sent me, right?
No. Okay. But it is going. We're going to talk about that one next.
It looks like this could be eerily similar to the same.
Do we have a caller?
Story. We do have a caller.
Okay, let's take the call real quick, and we're going to get the panic.
You want to introduce it?
Yes. So joining us right now from Ghostly Podcast is our sister show, is our friend, our sister. We usually say brother on the show because we have a lot of males. So our sister, in fact, we have co-host of Ghostly Podcast, Rebecca.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Rebecca. Oh, hey there. How are you?
I'm good. So, I love the Star Wars story. I am a huge Star Wars fan. And you know, that was.
So what's Rebecca's take?
Something about a lightsaber.
So what's Rebecca's take on the story?
As you said, never mess with a Wookiee.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know who was thinking, like, that they were going to mess with Chewbacca. Like, never a good idea.
I've been in New York and L.A. and the places where they have these street performers. They don't take kindly to you messing around with them. That's their job.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it is what it is. You got stabbed. It's unfortunate. I don't like to hear about these kinds of stories, but Chewbacca straight up stabbed a person. But moving on, Rebecca, you got some interesting news for us. You have a announcement for us tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very excited. Ghostly and Bob After Dark are going to collaborate on an episode about one of the most popular topics this year, I would say. The Cecil Hotel.
Yes. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And it was a very popular topic amongst on the show a few weeks back when I got a chance to sit down and watch the documentary. I've been bothering Pat and Rebecca for a while. I was like, guys, get a chance, watch the documentary series. It's really, really good. It's not paranormal, but it's really good. And so we sat down, brainstormed, and we're going to do a podcast-only exclusive episode of the Cecil Hotel. It'll be coming out as normal content for us, and I believe you guys are doing it as a bonus episode, right?
We are. Yeah, we've had a lot of people reach out and say, oh, this is so great, you guys should do an episode. And we're really happy that we get to do it with you and do it as a special episode, because, like you said, it's not a traditional paranormal story, but, you know, kind of falls in that realm.
It's the, you know, I always say when people are like, oh, why don't you do a true crime podcast? It's like, because it's not the same thing. I always say, you know, the paranormal podcasters, the conspiracy podcasters, and the true crime, we bowl on the same bowling league, just on separate teams.
I like it. Yes, I think that's a perfect thing. What color team is the paranormal bowling team, do you think?
Black or red? Purple? True crime, I guess, would be red, and then maybe conspiracy would be, like, yellow.
I like it. I like it.
Can
Yeah.
we need to get the paranormal podcasters, we need to get bowling t-shirts, bowling shirts made that say Paranormal
That sounds perfect.
Podcast. So folks, we're going to be recording that soon, and that episode's going to be coming out very soon. And where I'm very excited to be collaborating with Ghostly. I'm even more excited to be collaborating with Rebecca because we get Pat enough on the show, so it's nice to have Rebecca come on and be able to do her thing, because Rebecca is absolutely brilliant, 10 out of 10.
Ah, well, thank you so much. You are brilliant as well. And, I always love when you are on Ghostly. Or we're on together, because then we don't let Pat bully us,
No,
right?
because
It's just
Pat's
two of
in,
us.
and Pat's not on the phone call right now, and we can bully him a little bit. Ghost to real, Pat.
Exactly. We know the truth. That's all that matters.
Oh, well, Rebecca, thank you so much for calling in and sharing this exciting news and our big announcement. And thanks for being there to hear the Chewbacca story.
Thank you for telling it, and I'm excited, and yeah, you guys all be able to listen to it soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rebecca. Have a great night. Stay
Thanks.
ghostly.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye. So
How about
that's
that?
big exciting news, folks. So as Rebecca said, we are doing a collaboration episode. Lately, I've been feeling really down in the dumps. I don't want to
Bob,
dive too
why?
much in diving too much into my
Okay.
problems here, guys. But I needed a win, and I've been sitting here and I'm like, I need to do a collaboration episode with Ghostly. That's always some of my favorite content when we get Pat and Rebecca on. And what the topic that really struck out to me this year has been the Cecil Hotel story. So I'm like, let's do this. Let's make a collaboration episode. I want to do something podcasty, and I want to do something for our podcast fans because that's a big chunk of our viewership. I have to understand, Bob After Dark is split into three fan bases. We have a radio fan base, which we don't hear much from ever. Love you guys. Appreciate you listening on the radio waves. We have our Facebook Live fans that tune in every week. And finally, we have our podcast fans. And I wanted to do something. The Facebook Live and the radio fans, they get something every week. And the podcast fans get that episode recorded and put out to them. And I don't want to say recycle the content for them, but I want to give the podcast something exclusive.
Of course.
So I'm very excited to announce for the podcast fans, and this gives all of you a chance to check that out. Once it's up, I'll come on the Bob After Dark live show and I'll promote it. Maybe we'll play a little clip from it. But it's going to get a little heated because we have me and Rebecca that are believers and Pat that's a skeptic, and we're gonna duke it out in the ring. It's going to be a handicap
Oh,
match just
jeez.
versus a little wrestling
No
reference for
knives
you.
allowed, though.
No knives allowed.
Good.
So we're excited about that. When the podcast episode comes out, you guys should be ready to check that out.
Perfect.
Now count.
Yeah.
What's your panic
Oh,
stake on the
yes. Well, here's
Chewbacca
the thing,
story?
and I think about this too as well. I think about the Star Wars movies. They were classic movies, maybe not all of them, but the first ones were classic, of course. What would it be like, though, if you take away their lightsabers and gave them knives? So, knife fighting in space. Darth Vader versus Luke in a knife fight. I mean, that'd be. And then Chewbacca joins in with his knife. I mean, what a story that would
That
tell.
would be a. It's almost like a West Side Story because they fought with knives, right?
Yeah,
In the
it's
West
an
Side
old school
Story,
way of doing things,
that's
though.
how they handle things in space.
You never know. Well, it's sad to see Chewbacca fall into these times. Hopefully, he gets his life back on track. But I'm pulling for him. I'm pulling for him,
I think
Bob.
so,
Yeah, he'll be
absolutely.
all right. He'll be all right.
Now, panic.
Yeah.
Before we move on to the next story, we have an image we want to show you guys, and I'll explain this for the
Yes.
radio
Let's
and
pull this
podcast
up right here.
fans.
Let's see.
So this was actually shared to us from a fan, the Queen of the
What
Night,
the heck is this?
on our Children of the Night Facebook page. And it was a so bizarre I had to share it. So real quick, there is a gas station chain primarily in Wisconsin proper called Quick Trip.
Okay.
And Wisconsinites worship Quick Trip like it was a church. They have a fan group called like the Quick Trip Enthusiasts,
Of course.
and these folk will like go out of their way to make sure they go to a Quick Trip for their gas and for a drink. Whatever. They have good milk there. I know that I've been there several times. But
Well, it's
anyway,
Wisconsin. I would hope they have
so
good milk.
anyway, I preface the story by the Quick Trip, and there's a photo here of a Sasquatch
What?
filling a Jeep at a Quick Trip. And the story goes that Our Jeep, this is from the Lake Life Shop. And are you ready for the name of this town in Wisconsin, Count?
Let's hear it.
Oconomowoc.
Oconomowoc.
Oconomowoc. Oconomowoc. Or as some folks call it, the five O's. Well, anyway, so in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, there's a shop called the Lake Life Shop, and they put this picture up, and it says, "Our Jeep was missing this morning from our driveway. It was spotted at Quick Trip in Oconomowoc. We think he may be headed to northern Wisconsin to see his girlfriend. If you see this guy on the road, approach with caution. It's running season for Sasquatch, and he's a crappy driver."
Well, look at that.
I had to share this. Yeah. To you. It's a. I want to do more of these kind of like image shares. It's not much of like a meme, but it's. No. I appreciate somebody getting decked out. It might be the real Sasquatch.
It
I
might
don't
be
think
it.
So, but somebody got decked out in a Sasquatch getup and went and filled up their gas at a Quick Trip.
I'll give you my take here, Bob.
Oh, okay. Hashtag panic state.
It's really hard to tell by looking at this picture. Again, if you're watching on the video here, Jet TV, Amazon, Facebook, wherever you're watching, I'm looking at the picture. I can't see no zippers there, to be honest.
Oh, man. So you're thinking this might be the real deal. Sasquatch might be.
I don't see any real human skin. I don't see no zippers. I don't see no patches.
Do you think Sasquatch stole the Jeep to go drive up to like Door County, Wisconsin and get away for a weekend?
It wouldn't be beneath them to do something like that.
It's
I
possible.
Don't think it's
possible
for him. And you know, Wisconsin, probably lots of woodsy areas around there. I'm sure there's a few squatches roll around those parts. I didn't think he was a Jeep guy. I thought more he was like a, I don't know, what would you say he was? I didn't think it was a Jeep guy. Or
no.
Jeeps. I didn't know Sasquatch could drive Jeep. I thought they were more maybe, you know, things with the open roofs, maybe like a Corvette or something like that. Something snazzy, like a sports car.
I don't know.
Car.
Maybe the Sasquatch wants to blend in.
I guess
that's why
so.
They took the Jeep. By the way, Quick Trip, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, I'm your guy.
Yeah. Buy milk over there.
Buy milk. Yes. So, anyway, Quick Trip, guys. And the Sasquatch at the Quick Trip. I'm going to join Team Skeptic and say this was a what's the word I'm looking for? A hoaxed image, a planned image. I think that's the word I'm looking for.
Well, not to get overly newsy here, but there's been a uptick,
an
you could
uptick.
Say, of carjackings. And Sasquatch,
let's
sadly,
not make light of the,
I'm just saying, no, Sasquatch,
of the
Sasquatch sadly seems to be a part of these carjackings as well. But I didn't, like I said, I never pegged him as a Jeep guy, Bob. Never pegged him as a Jeep guy. That's sad. Mm-hmm. He'll be all right, though. Like Chewbacca, he'll be all right.
Absolutely. You know, by the way, Count, I was at Wisconsin on Sunday.
I saw some images of you.
Went to the haven, of, if you will.
What?
The Mecca, the pilgrimage of the Bob After Dark fan base, the Marsh Cheese Castle.
What? Now, was this a special trip? Did you just get the urge?
No. We were dry. Was up in Milwaukee doing some antiquing.
Oh,
and
antiquer.
On the way back down, stopped off at the quick at the Marsh Cheese Castle.
Was our
Kurtz.
Was our guy there? Bartender.
The bartender was there, Josh. He didn't remember me, but I was like, I remember you.
He's always there.
He's always there when we did the Wisconsin Comic Con a couple years ago. Like that dude was there when we went. Like every day we went and had a beer and got some curds, and he remembered us.
I'm
and we
pretty
talked about the paranormal.
Sure he's the only bartender there, because every time we're there. He's there, so
yes.
He's taking good care of the people out there. It's good to see the Cheese Castle thriving, too. I mean, people still high demand of cheese and curds and Spotted Cow. I'm sure you picked up some Spotted Cow. You picked up some Spotted
I
Cow.
I did not.
Wow.
No, I should have.
Wow.
No, I think wow. I Spotted Cow out for a bit.
Taking
I'm,
a break.
I'm not saying that. I can't say that. Mean that.
No, you don't want to mess with the Spotted Cow people. I'm sure they're watching this right now, Bob, so... You got to be nice to them.
We do. Absolutely.
Well, that's nice. I'm glad you enjoyed your trip. What curds did you go with? What curds did you go
just
for?
Regular,
just regular.
Regular curds.
They got so many different kinds of curds.
Just order cheese curds count. That's all you need. You're in Wisconsin. You don't need anything fancy.
So you're not one of those guys that goes for the jalapeno cheese curds or the...
No, that's blasphemy, in my opinion. We had a friend, Jamie, a couple weeks ago from the Paranormal Crossroads episode, and she's from Wisconsin and told you that stuff was nonsense.
I don't know. Sometimes it's fun to get, though, just to spice up the life. You know, sometimes we need to jazz up our lives, and we do it with fancy cheese curds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm glad you had a good time.
That was a great time. Now, Count, I got a question for you.
What's up, Bob?
So... When you're looking at these pictures, right? Mm-hmm. And you, I don't know, we don't know 100% if you're skeptic or believer, and I'm going back to the Sasquatch picture, is there something that stands out to you where you're like, you know, that's real or that's not? Like, in this case, you actually might believe it's the real thing.
See, no zippers, Bob.
Where are you on the spectrum? We have to know. Are you a believer, or are you a skeptic, or are you in the middle?
Bob, I try to keep an open mind with a lot of things. I try to, you know, investigate a little bit. Again, we were at the old studio there. I try to keep a clear mind going into things, but sometimes you just can't explain it. So I'll look for reasoning behind it. So I'm with Pat like this. I look for reasoning behind it, but sometimes it just confuses me so much, Bob. You have really no chance or no other option but to believe it. So I try to keep it down the middle, Bob.
I'm in the middle leaning towards belief.
Yes. But you always look for reasons behind it before you say
it. Oh, I do, absolutely, yes. 100%.
Yeah, you have to.
Which is a good place to kind of move into our next story, which was a dinosaur footprint found along the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
This is a good story that leads into what you're saying here.
All right.
The story comes to us from Coast to Coast once again. A hiker traveling along the Appalachian Trail thought they found a fossilized footprint of a dinosaur, but the eye-catching discovery turned out to be a hoax made by, well, Mother Nature. The Northeast Archaeological Reserve Resources Program, which works to preserve and protect the natural resources in the America's national parks, shared an image of the oddity on their Facebook page last week. The group amusingly explained that some folks still think that archaeologists study dinosaurs, and such department occasionally receives images of people who believe that they have stumbled upon evidence of the ancient reptiles. In this instant, an unnamed national park guest visiting the Appalachian Trail spotted what appears to look to be a rather distinct-looking impression in a rock that bears an uncanny resemblance to a dinosaur's claw-like footprint. But, alas, their suspicions were dashed by the department, who explained to the traveler that they actually found what scientists called a pseudo-fossil. Such objects, they said, are inorganic impressions that could be mistaken as a fossil. As such, it turns out while the tourists may have not unearthed a glimpse of the distance past, they did manage to inadvertently provide something of a science lesson. So this is it's an interesting story, and it's a good thing to look at from when we talk about skepticism versus belief, and when we talk a little bit about, you know, when we're trying, you know, when we have Steve on the show, and Steve's more of an expert when it comes to photo analysis, when it comes to the paranormal and stuff.
Of course.
This is it, when you look at the picture, and I'll share this on the Children of the Night page so you guys can check it out. That does look like as if something stepped through the rock many, many years ago and left some sort of imprint. So, I mean, if I was walking along the Appalachian Trail, I mean, I would have bought into this. But apparently it's just natural erosion that happened to look like a footprint. So we guys got to remember when you look at these types of things and you look at these types of imagery and you have to look at these types of evidence, not everything you're going to find is exactly what it seems. And then you're going to find things that you can't explain. And that's when you can move into the territory of, what could this be? Mm. And this is as simple as a fossil, folks. This is more of a scientific discovery versus something like, I caught an orb on my camera, or here is apparition. There are photos out there that are famously debunked in the world of the paranormal, and then there's photos that aren't. I've seen them both. I've seen ones that I've debunked. But, you know, you got to look at these from a very clerical, you know, viewpoint of what am I looking at first before you jump to conclusions. Hashtag panic stake.
Of course. Well, you know, this one didn't have a totally bad outcome. I mean, it seems like it's a learning experience, Bob. We took this footprint here and kind of all that went behind it and kind of, made it a good story. I mean, it's easy to get bummed out, wouldn't you say?
Oh,
when
absolutely.
You debunk something?
Oh, man, absolutely. Nobody wants to debunk the paranormal stories.
No.
Nobody ever wants to debunk, like, that scientific find. That's a tough, like... It's a tough place to be. You don't want to be that guy to be like, or that person, that girl, whatever. 2021, you know, we're very inclusive here. We want everybody. Anyway, you don't want to be that person to look at it and say, yeah, what you're looking at is a particle of dust, or what you're looking at here is a lens flare.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that person. Some people, Pat from Ghostly, is one of those people that are very much probably looking forward to debunking something. But I'm not. I don't want to be that person. I like to be that believer. And it's like, what you got here is a ancient fossil of somebody stepping on a rock. You know, that's important.
No, for sure. Well, that's the thing too. It's easy to get yourself bummed out over stuff like that, but I think this is a good learning tool right here. Again, not a sour story whatsoever. I think it turned out to be a quite learning experience, Bob.
I would say so.
I would say so too.
Now we have a caller.
We do have a caller.
Let's take him live.
You've been on a roll here, taking live phone calls. Are you sure you want to do
that? We're taking
it
live. We're going to roll the dice and do a gamble here.
All right, let's see who it is.
Caller on the air.
When you mention categories of radio, Facebook, podcast, I got to admit, I'm still the old-fashioned type of guy that I got a little device. It's called a transistor. And I could put this little transistor in my pocket, and I could take the dog outside to the yard, take the garbage out, walk to the mailbox. And it's great. I want to keep that radio tradition alive, if you will. And I don't know about, you know, I'm going to have to say your dad's probably a radio guy, too.
He probably is. I know him and Mom are listening right now. Hello, John, by the way. This is John, our folks, our weekly caller. If there is one thing that you can expect from Bob After Dark week to week, it's that John's going to call.
On the radio.
On the radio, because John is a fan of the radio format. And there's a romance to being a paranormal radio talk show host. There really is.
Well, there you go. So I just wanted to chime in on that, and you guys have a great show. I'll be listening.
Thank you so much, John. We appreciate that.
Okay, Bob.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. And, you know, Bob, I have to agree with him because, you know, I know we're on various video platforms right now, but at the end of the day, Bob, radio at WJOB is still top dog.
You're not wrong, though. We're still, you know, I like to celebrate National Radio Day every year because at the end of the day, if podcast servers crashed, for whatever reason, I'm still a radio talk show host at the end of the day.
And think about if there's an emergency going on, you're the one to deliver that news.
You don't want me to be, like, I've always had that thought, and this is just a quick side note. If we were ever live and something tragic ever happened, like real bad, like real bad stuff, would we be the ones to break it?
You would have to break it, Bob.
That's so strange to me because we're not a political show. Well, this is as close to news as y'all are going to get from us is the paranormal and weird stuff. We're not political. We don't talk about political issues. There's a couple stances I may take here and there. But at the end of the day, I offer an escape to everybody. I want everybody to come to Bob After Dark to enjoy what we offer as a service, as a product, as a form of entertainment, whatever it is that is, right?
Yeah.
I want everybody to enjoy it. So I don't want to bring the political stuff in and the current events because it's not what you're getting. You're listening to Bob After Dark for a community-based paranormal show.
But say, it doesn't have to be political, Bob. Say if there was like a major earthquake happening right now.
But I shouldn't say political, but that's still like, when, you know, I'm sitting here talking about ghost stories. For example, Lore of the Night, we're talking about the Moors of England. And what if I'm in the middle of talking about the Beast of the Moors, and then it's just like, hey, guys, I hate to stop what I'm talking about here, but fill in the blank. I would probably hope that you would take over and cut into it because I'm not a news anchor.
You are Walter Cronkite, Bob.
I am more of a George Norrie.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, too. But think about this, Bob. Think about this.
I don't think Art Bell ever broke breaking news on Coast to Coast. Maybe I'm wrong, but.
But think about this years from now, decades from now, grandchildren will be asking their parents, well, where were you in the Great Flood of 2021? How did you find out about the Great Flood of 2021? Who was the voice that told you about that?
Bob After Dark.
Bob After Dark. Bob Anderson.
Now you're giving me some anxiety here.
Don't worry. Nothing bad's going to happen.
Nothing bad's going to happen, but I guess we would break it. That's our job as a radio. Yes. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
So our last news story of the week is, once again, Coast to Coast has been nailing it lately with their news articles, and the fans, we've been getting, it's been a dry spot lately. So I've been taking in the Coast to Coast news articles. So this last one's also from Coast to Coast, and big shout out to Tim Banal, who writes these articles, because it's really good. All right, so authorities have made an arrest in the case of the Phantom Lumberjack.
The Phantom Lumberjack.
A nefarious new duo, well, believed to be responsible for cutting down dozens of trees throughout several communities in England. Dubbed Jack the Chipper by some clever observers, The miscreant began their proverbial reign of terror a few weeks ago in the county of Surrey. Over the course of about a month, approximately 50 trees are thought to have been taken down by the mysterious individual. The sinister slayings, which seem to occur slightly in the dead of night, sparked widespread community outrage, rightfully so. In turn, both residents and police embarked on an exhaustive manhunt for the phantom lumberjack, and now appears to that the proverbial dragnet has led to an arrest of the suspect in the case. On Friday morning, Surrey police announced that they have received a fantastic response from residents who contacted us with information concerning a vehicle spotted in the vicinity of the phantom lumberjack's victims. Following up the lead, police eventually tracked down the suspicious car and made a rather fine, grim, and telling discovery. Upon searching the vehicle, as well as the driver's home, they found several chainsaws and wood chippings. The police substantially arrested the 24-year-old man suspicion of criminal damage, as well as being in possession of equipment intended to be used in the commission of a crime. Time will tell whether the yet-to-be-identified young man is the actual Phantom Lumberjack, or his apprehension is merely an unfortunate case of mistaken identity. That said, given their announcement of the arrest, it would appear that the Surrey police are fairly confident that they have positively identified the much-sought-after Jack the Chipper. Stopping short of an outright declaring the case is closed, they said in a statement that this is encouraging development in this investigation, and we continue to piece together the evidence that we have. Of course, even if the suspect turns out to be the perpetrator of the strange crime spree, what they took down so many trees and how they pulled it off stealthily remains a mystery. So there was a story going around a while ago about this mysterious entity that was going around cutting down trees, and they couldn't catch this person. And eventually the community banded together and tracked down this lumberjack that was cutting down trees in communities, and they caught him. Hashtag panic steak.
Well, that's quite the story, Bob. As far as the lumberjacks go, they provide a great service to our communities. Of course, getting down unwanted trees there that may not be needed. But a phantom lumberjack, that's extra terrifying. And, you know, we talked about the Oscars a little bit earlier and the lack of maybe paranormal movies nominated for awards. I don't know about you, Bob, but I think I would love watching a movie and maybe see it nominated for an Oscar about a phantom lumberjack. Wouldn't that be thrilling?
I would say so.
That'd be a good, I think you have a good plot behind that movie as well. But who would play the phantom lumberjack?
You?
Bob, I think you're more lumberjacky than I am.
I let down the hair and the beard.
You got flannel and everything.
I got the flannel and everything. I it's an interesting case. And you know, some of the biggest mysterious cases aren't always paranormal per se, like the story of Spring Heel Jack, which we'll talk about at some point here in the near future. You know, you look at the case like Spring Heel Jack, we don't know if it was a paranormal story or not, but it was legitimately something that was going on. And you would think that if there was, you know, a one-person operation in the case of this lumberjack, you'd think they'd be caught or they'd be making enough noise to be knocking down some trees. That's where the mystery, like, kind of grows deep. It's really interesting to kind of see.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, and again, in that case, it is a terrifying aspect to see all these trees going down, I guess, if you don't know who's doing it. But at the end of the day, you resolve it. Again, there's always something that might be explainable in these types of situations. And if not, then you know for sure, well, it must be a phantom lumberjack, Bob. Must be a phantom lumberjack.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's your take?
That's my take. Although I would love to see a movie about that, wouldn't you? Phantom Lumberjack?
If they develop some interesting cases with it and they maybe wrap a fun story in like a neat bow and they're like, here's a film called The Phantom Lumberjack. I would watch a movie called The Phantom Lumberjack regardless of plot because it's a fascinating title. That'd be something I'd be strolling on Netflix and be like, yes.
You would stop on that, right?
I would stop instantly.
I don't know too many lumberjacks. Well, we all know the legend of Paul Bunyan, Bob.
Yes, I remember the legend of Paul Bunyan, Count Panic.
Yeah. You know what makes me crave it? Paul Bunyan, Wisconsin Dells, the breakfast.
Always goes back to Wisconsin.
Oh,
with
man, that's a good place to eat, Bob. That's a very good place to eat.
All right, why don't we take a quick break, Count
Panic?
Sure. And when we come back, we're going to dive into the lore of the week. Now, for our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, stay tuned, because you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be paying attention to. Stick around.
Hey, true believers and new believers. This is Dr. David Hickney. I am a PhD in cryptozoology from MIT, and I'm the host of Freak of the Week. What's Freak of the Week? It's a podcast where people can call in to talk about all the crazy creatures and phenomena that are out there. Join me, my co-host, Dr. Elizabeth Marin, who may or may not be my sister. Spoiler, she is my sister, as we discuss such amazing topics like the ghost of Dave Coulier, the lost city of Miami, aliens, feline warriors, and much, much more. Freak of the Week comes out every week, hence the name, on Fridays. See you then.
And we're back. Hello, Cal Panic.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. Count, how about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Can't complain. It was a very nice break.
What'd you do during break?
Went to go walk around the forest, Bob, see if there's any trees that need to be cut down.
Are you the Phantom Lumberjack?
I didn't want to say. I still don't want to say. Don't want to say. That's enough of that. You're not going to get it out of me. We're not going to talk about it anymore.
I've decided I'm taking up an interest in this case.
Okay.
And you can consider me the Kyle MacLachlan of this case, where I'm going to go and... I'm going to go my Twin Peaks style.
All right.
And go
do some investigating around here.
Investigate this case.
How about you, Bob? What'd you do?
I'd be taking up an interest in the case. I'm starting my investigation on the Phantom Lumberjack.
It happened already. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, it's funny we ended the story of the Phantom Lumberjack on a case in England, because that is what we are discussing this evening.
England.
Tonight on Bob After Dark on the Lore of the Week, we are discussing the Moors of England.
The Moors of England.
The Moors of England. Okay. Now, Count, when I say the Moors, do you have some imagery in your mind comes the Moors? Do you have an image painted in your mind already?
Moors. Maybe some extravagant-looking folks, like they have more than the rest of everybody? It's a tough image to get in my mind, Bob. The Moors.
It's actually less is more in the Moors.
Less is more.
The Moors is very... If I had to paint a picture for you, if I was to shoot a film in like a post-apocalyptic kind of setting, I would shoot it in in that neck of the woods in the Moors of England, specifically what they call Dartmoor.
Okay.
So the Dartmoor, England, is very plainy. It's plainy meaning plains. There's a lot of desolate area, grassy hills, leftover ruins from hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago. Old farmlands that have been forgotten and abandoned, small little villages here and there, and it rains a lot there. It's a very dreary and desolate kind of a place, but the people that live there love that area. And the research I was putting into this episode, I was watching a lot of videos of people being there and doing discussion. This is like a vacation spot for a lot of folk in England. A lot of people go up to the Dartmoor area just to kind of get away from the hustle and bustle of like the big suburbs of London.
Who wouldn't?
But you kind of go there to go experience this area.
Really? So it's not really much. It's not more. It's
it's not. It's less. It's more of pure, tranquility, peace and quiet, because there's not a lot going on there. But the people that live there, they're all fascinated and they're very much on the believing side of things. Most of the folk that are there, when, they have paranormal investigators or just researchers go and talk to the folk there, some of the folk may outright tell you that they don't believe in the ghost stories of Dartmoor. Instead, they believe in pixies.
Okay.
They believe that Dartmoor is inhabited by the Fae. And it's really interesting because we have ghost stories that happen in Dartmoor. We have cryptid sightings in Dartmoor. And... of course, we also have just weird tales of spookiness and just a dreary nature. Last week, we tried to do this episode, and unfortunately, we had to get into a fight with some gremlins.
For the radio people, we did finish it.
It was what we call a photo finish, folks. And when we got to the part of the lore, it was we were just it was bad. So we're doing what I like to call the redemption round. This is our version, finally, the completed version of the Dartmoor, England.
All right.
I'm going to read a little bit from the Dartmoor Tourism Bureau, which is visitdartmoor.uk. For centuries, the Dartmoor folklore and legends have been encompassed in tales of pixies, ghosts, and witchcraft, weird happenings, and a host of deep-seated beliefs. These have been passed down through generations via fireside stories, books, and local tradition, all of which played their own part in keeping the tales alive today. There can be no question that the Dartmoor and its landscapes have helped fire people's beliefs and imagination. From the thick mists that suddenly appear and roll across the moor to the dark, bottomless mires and the craggy granite tors, each lend an air of mystery and magic, all ripe for associated legends and tales. Today we have a wealth of tales of which relate the various stages and events which took place somewhere in the Dartmoor landscape. No matter whether it's a dark bottomless pool or a sleepy moorland hamlet, there is a story to be told. The really fascinating thing that is due to Dartmoor's unspoiled landscape, it is possible to visit many of these places which are connected with the various tales and see them where the events unfolded pretty much unaltered from when the events happened. So when visiting Dartmoor, why not take a journey into the weird mystery past and witness for yourself some of these mysterious places? And I will take you on an audio journey of these. So I have a handful of stories relating to this. We didn't have a theme for April, and we were kind of going back and forth about what we wanted to talk about. Yeah. Queen of Night actually picked this episode out. She was like, oh, we should do a conversation. You should do a conversation about the Dartmoors. And I was like, okay, let's try it, see if we can find anything. And believe it or not, there's some spots. And this has officially become easily in my top five most wanted places to go and investigate for myself. You see the imagery and you see these videos of these people going and investigating, and it's a weird, just eerie.
And we're talking about going to investigate these planes, Bob?
These planes, and just go and see them. I mean, people vacation there a lot. It's not like a desolate landscape. And for our historical fans and for our literary fans, the tale of Sherlock Holmes and the Hound of the Baskervilles was actually written in location of the Dartmoor.
Really? Yeah. Lots of fog, probably.
Lots of fog. And that's what you think of when you think of the moor. Like, yeah. That's, I think of like the Hound of the Baskervilles. That's where Arthur Conan Doyle kind of wrote that imagery. That's what I thought of. So when I started doing research for the episode and I started looking at it, I'm like, yeah, he nailed that on the head. So I got a couple different stories for you guys about weird happenings. We got some ghosts, and we even have a cryptid, which might ring a bell for our dear friend Count Panic across the studio for me.
Really? So yeah. It's not this guy on the screen.
It's right not now. That guy. It's not the Sasquatch at the Quick Trip.
Right,
no,
good.
This is a kind of a callback to your favorite cryptid of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, continue on, Bob.
We're going to talk about that a little later. Right. So the first story I have is the Coffin Stone. The legend says that many years ago, a truly evil man had died and was being carried in his coffin to burial at the Wincombe Churchyard. As always, during the steep climb, the coffin was laid on the stone while the bearers took a break during their ascent up the Dartmead Hill. It is said that at that moment, the Almighty, who was furious about this evil man being buried in a sacred place like the churchyard, sent a massive thunderbolt down to the earth. And not only was the coffin destroyed, but the body inside, and split the stone under it as well. On foot, if you want to get there, you got to take a road and walk about 600 yards up a hill, take a left, and you're going to see the stone that is split directly in half. And it's almost as if you look at it and a crack of lightning went and destroyed the stone. And it's very fascinating that someone, you know, some of these stories you got to think about, then you think about how they were created. Someone, you know, some nomads or older generations of folk that were native to the area were probably looking at that stone and being like, well, how did it split in half? And then someone came up with a, you know, people probably did have to set a coffin down while they were carrying the bodies. There's no way you're going to get, you know, a horse-drawn hearse to be coordinated to go up these hills. I mean, they're steep. climbs. Yeah, I was saying, if you want to go and see this, you got to take a desolate road off the road, walk 600 yards up a hill, and then take another left, and maybe you'll see this rock. So, I mean, you got to think about that when the old undertakers were trying to carry a coffin. They got to do what they got to do.
Yeah.
And it's not far-fetched to think that somebody probably sat a coffin down on the stone, because I'm assuming at some point it was probably a flat surface. Bear's got to take a break. The body ain't going nowhere, so just set it down there. Now, whether or not there was an actual evil person that was about to be buried on, you know, sacred ground, and it ticked off, you know, that's what they refer to as the Almighty. The Almighty threw down a lightning bolt and said, nah, you ain't burying that person in no cemetery. That's an interesting story.
Yeah, no, sure. And it makes sense, too. I mean, it was always something you could do back then to get to by to its final destination there. And it doesn't seem as plenty as you would think with all those rocks and stones and all that good stuff. But, hey, you do what you got to do at the end of the day for those types of folks.
Yeah. Moving on from a rock that was split in half from an evil man, we move to a bottomless pit.
Bottomless pit.
There is a body of water named the Crazy Well Pool. Crazy Well lies below the Cromber Tor, and its dark waters are said to be bottomless. Mm. It's said that anybody who gazes into the waters on Midsummer's Eve will see a likeness of the next parishioner of the area to die. There is a fairly modern tale of how one night somebody was relating the legend of the pool at a local inn. A challenge was laid down that the next Midsummer's Eve, they would not dare to go to the pool. This bet was accepted, and the boy who went up to the pool on that fateful night, and as the quite a hike, they decided to drive up there on a motorcycle, and nobody knows what they saw or heard, because on the way back home, the spike better, you know, sped off from the road, had an accident, and killed both drivers that went to this crazy well pool as they were bet to go. You know, you always bet the kids, hey, your friends or whatever, you always want to bet them to go see the haunted location or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And in this case, they bet them to go look in this thing, and the idea is if you're going to look in water, reflection coming back at you is probably going to be yourself, but now the lore goes that it could be any reflection. Maybe it was their own that night. We don't know, because unfortunately they passed away on their way back.
Hmm.
What's your take on that story, Cal?
So they had to go, they trekked. So they trekked back, basically, is what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to be clear on that.
Yeah.
Seems like a long way to go out of the way there, Bob. Doesn't it be just like a little tad?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that just strikes me as strange there. Interesting, though. Now, these obviously didn't have the same situations, though, as the Rocky Plains, right? Plains can't be rocky, correct? Or can they? Plains?
What?
Plains can't be rocky, can they?
No.
No, because it's just a plane, right? So a little different situation than the first story there, where they had more of a journey to trek through the rocks and stones and all that good stuff. But I'm interested, you know, and this is somewhere you could visibly go to, Bob.
Oh, yeah. All these on the Tourism Bureau for the Dartmoor, they give you exact locations on how to get there.
Is there a gift shop anywhere?
Maybe.
Because I'm all about the gift shops.
You know, post-pandemic, I think this is going to have to be a trip where we go.
How far? England, what's in the budget? I think we got some money in the box, the travel box, don't we?
The Bob After Dark budget.
I'll have to track the funds there, but I think we got some money. Do we have any money? We might have some money for a trip to England, to the moors and stuff like that. But if it's a popular tourist destination, they should be happy to have us. We could do a podcast on remote out there.
We might have to.
Might be something.
It's a beautiful area.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Couple more, and then we're going to dive into like the more popular stories.
Okay.
One is the Cutty Dryer. The Cutty Dryer is an evil sprite who lives at King's Bridge in Ashburton. He is rumored to accost drunks and throw them in the river,
okay,
or at worst, slit their throats,
wow,
drink their blood,
whoa,
and then throw them into the river.
Jeez.
And this tale is told to children as a warning not to stay out after dark. I think that's a warning not to anger the Cutty Dryer. And the Cutty Dryer, is said to live under this bridge in like a gated tunnel. Like it's like a drain pipe, I guess you can call it, a drainage sewage system, whatever. It's got a big old iron rock gate in front of it. And that's where this the Cuddy Dyer says to be living.
Really?
Yeah.
So, best case scenario, he just throws you into the river.
Yeah.
That's all he does. Because it could turn out way worse if he ends up doing something else with you. So, does it say a specific part, or is he known to be, is it just this one part?
This bridge. Don't go to that bridge if you're drunk.
Only if you're drunk.
Or, I guess, if you're there after night, but apparently it targets drunks.
So drunk at night, which is a common thing to be.
I don't, you know, normally I'm not walking around drunk during the day, so maybe after a long night. But
it's frowned upon to do either, I guess. But so if you're walking around drunk at night, you enter this bridge, you see the gated gate, I guess you should say the gated gate, and he comes after you. Best case scenario, once again, he just throws you into the river.
Yeah.
All right. Makes you not want to drink anymore, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there are three, like, most popular stories. So the ones I just wrote off were just quick, simple bits of lore about the Dartmoor. But one of, if there's three of the most popular stories, one is the grave and the story of Kitty J. Back in the late 18th century, some say right around 1790, an orphan baby was taken to the poorhouse at the Newton Abbot. The little girl was named, as the custom, with a surname beginning of whatever letter of the poorhouse had been progressed to, and in this case, it was J. As many common names have been taken, the baby girl ended up with J. And those J is in J-A-Y. And in those days, the word J-A-Y was slang for a term of, let's say, the lady of the night. So the Christian name of Mary was added. Mary J. remained at the Wurrellboro poorhouse until her teens, where she supervised the younger children. Then she was sent to the Kana Farm, which is located outside of Manhattan. Here she was said to be employed as an apprentice, which meant she worked both in the house and on the fields. This was to be a hard life, as the task was load heavy and the days were long, and rewards were few. A decent meal and a warm clothing were luxuries that many of these apprentices learned to live without. It may have been at this time that the farm had Mary J. switched the name to Kitty J. Not long after she'd been at the farm, she started to receive attentions of the farmer's son, which at the time may have seemed of a way of obtaining some security and a sense of worth. Sadly, as in many similar cases, she fell pregnant and soon was discovered her meaning of worth was very different to that farmer and his wife. Clearly, the girl had thrown herself at the son, and with the name Jay, no wonder. Again, they associated the name Jay as Lady of the Night, we'll say.
Okay.
The end result was that she was thrown from the farm and left with a reputation of promiscuous, we'll say. Kitty knew only too well that she once got word around she would never find employment in the area, and that only left the prospect of returning in disgrace to the poorhouse. Tragically and unfortunately, Kitty J. took the only other option and was found hanging in one of the barns at the Canna. Fortunately, took her own life. The custom of that day was that any person that died of such way could not be buried in consecrated ground, as so they were interred at the, so they were buried at crossroads, sometimes with a stake driven through their hearts, thinking they were going to come back as vampires. But the main reason why they were buried at a crossroads, away from any sort of town, village, or church, is so that they thought they were going to confuse the soul and the spirit not to come back and haunt them later. So they believed back then, that if you are a victim of, I'm a big advocate on mental health, so I don't want to use the S word as a trigger. Mm-hmm. But if you are a victim of that as your ending, believe that you've never ascended into an afterlife. You were banished to wander this earth forever as a spirit. And if you were going to be that spirit, the idea is that they would bury you in a crossroads, right? And
okay.
It's a terrible, terrible story. And I feel really bad for Kitty J. And it's a terrible ending to the story. I don't like that. But there's a paranormal side to it that actually kind of has a brighter undertone to it. This was the fate of Katie J, and she was buried at the intersection of a road and Moreland Track. The grave soon became known as Jay's grave, and it did not take long for strange events to be taking place. On certain moonlit nights, a dark figure could be seen kneeling beside the sad little mound with a bowed head and its face buried in its hands. Nobody has ever been able to say if the spectral figure was male or female because of the way it was wrapped in a thick black cloak. There are two schools of thought as to who the ghostly apparition is. Some say it is the spirit of one of those responsible for driving Kitty from the farm, and others say that the soul is the faithless farmer's son whose punishment has been sent to stand vigil over the grave of his victim and unborn child. The other phenomena associated with Kitty's resting place is the daily appearance of fresh flowers on the grave. Nobody is ever seen leaving them, but no matter what time of the year, there's always flowers. And what's even stranger is, the flowers are always seasonal specific.
Wow.
So in the winter you see holly, and in the summer you'll see roses.
How's that possible, Bob?
It's a strange tale. Some believe that it's actually the work of pixies, and the pixies, knowing the story, want to go there and try to appease her spirit based on the tragic ending that she had. And this is a famous spot where people can kind of go, because her grave is a spot. A lot of people know where it's at, and it's a common place where people go and pay respects, unfortunately. And if you go visit her grave now, people leave offerings, and they leave little trinkets behind. That's a big thing for me, and when I do my investigations of grave sites, I leave pennies, but some people leave a little bit more than that, or, you know, leave a bowl of rice or whatever it might be. So people want to go there and appease their spirit. So that's the story of Kitty J.
Well, that's touching, and you know what we talked about earlier in the show, ways you could debunk something.
Yeah,
but flowers, seasonal flowers.
It's a strange.
You can't debunk that.
So one of the videos I saw with one of the guys who was out there doing an investigation or just documenting the weird paranormal, there's farmers that live right by that grave, and they say, you know, they stare at it all the time trying to figure it out, and they never see somebody leaving seeds or something left behind of these seasonal flowers, because that's the strangest part, is it's seasonal.
Yeah, it's impossible, Bob. So in this case, doing all the breakdowns, there's nothing left to say, but it's probably something paranormal.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that's a touching end to a very tragic story in Kitty's case.
Yeah. Seasonal flowers, Bob.
Seasonal flowers.
Seasonal flowers. What's your favorite seasonal flower, Bob?
I don't know.
Oh, either. Something to think about. Question of the week.
Question of the week. What's my favorite seasonal flower?
Yeah.
All right, we got two more stories. This next one is the story of Jan Reynolds and the mysterious Black Horse Rider.
Black cloaked
figure.
I hear you.
Yeah. Jan Reynolds was a young tin miner who lived in Wycombe. He worked hard but played even harder. And in the area, he was known as a drinker, gambler, and womanizer.
Well,
sadly, his lifestyle did not match his income, and he was short of the coin. In an attempt to solve the problem, Jan had sold his soul to the devil himself in return for gold. The upturn in his fortune enabled the young miner to indulge even further in his passions, and he became ever so engrossed and conveniently forgot his satanic pact. One Sunday morning, a group of church dodgers were having a few pints at the Tavistock Inn at Poundsgate. This was a regular venue for a Sunday because it was far enough away from Wycombe for the Vicar to catch them. This particular Sunday was hot, humid, sultry, which means that the locals had a proper thirst on. The ale was flowing fast and furious, and the landlady's till was filling nicely. Those sat near the window became aware of the sound of galloping hooves clattering down the road. The horse and rider slid to a halt outside the inn upon it, which a tall, dark stranger dismounted and purposely strode into the bar. He was dressed head to toe in black and had a menacing air about him. The rider stood at the bar and slowly surveyed the crowd of locals. There was a low murmur and conversation stopped and feet scuffled nervously down the floor. Everybody was looking anywhere but at the stranger, who continued to examine each individual. The landlady edged up and asked the man what he would like to drink. A foaming tankard of ale was poured and a gold coin handed over. Those near enough were amazed to see such a sum. This wasn't a rich man's company, but this person handed rich man's money. Those who stood even nearer were alarmed to hear the sizzling noise coming from the stranger's throat as he quaffed his ale. With one final look around the bar, the man in black finished his drink and strode out. The sound of galloping hooves could once again be heard speeding towards Whitecombe, and one of the locals asked to see the gold that the stranger had left behind because it was such a sight. Once the inn lady looked at the coin, and she only found a few pennies and a pile of dry, withered leaves in the area where she put the gold. While this was happening, Jan Reynolds decided to go to church over at Waikabe, where he was hoping to catch an eye of a certain milkmaid. The vicar was not known for a short sermon, and so to pass the time, Jan was idly playing with a pack of cards. As minutes dragged by, his eyes became heavy, and soon the young miner fell asleep. The vicar droned on and on until a sudden flash of lightning lit the church. This was followed by a loud clack of thunder, which announced the arrival of a terrible storm. Suddenly, there was an enormous crash. Dust and debris showered from the roof, and to everybody's terror, the devil plummeted down into the church. He strode over where the sleeping figure of Jan Reynolds was and scooped him up. Amongst all of this mayhem, folks were confused, so to say, and before he returned to the tower, the devil bashed Jan's skull in. Others say that the devil simply just carried him up to the top of the tower where the devil came from. Either way, the evil one went to his horse that was tethered to one of the church pinnacles, flung the miner across its neck, and leapt onto the animal's back. And with a spine-chilling shriek, the devil sped off with a hail of sparks and flames into the stormy sky as the horse leapt into the air and tore it off the pinnacles and sent it crashing to the inside to the church. The last anyone ever saw Jan Reynolds was when they passed the moor by the birch. The devil was holding the figure of the lad, and the horse was climbing higher and higher into the sky. As the horse ascended, 4 playing cards fell from Jan's pocket and flooded down to earth. When the cards hit the ground, they left 4 imprints which served as a warning to all potential soul sellers and anyone dare to play cards in church. Waikambe has been called the Valley of Thunderstorms, and October 21st, 1638, an exceptionally violent storm did occur and struck Waikambe in the afternoon on a Sunday. Many people were attending the service. A huge thunderbolt did, in fact, hit the church and sent the masonry and debris flying down on the congregation, resulting in 6 people being killed and 62 injured. In an account in 1638 entitled A True Revelation of Strange and Lamentable Accidents Which Happening in the Parish of Church Waikambe near the Dartmoors in Devonshire, the author Masters Wikes and Rothwell detailed the events of the storm, so we know that a storm actually did happen on that day. Mm-hmm. And some believe that what caused this storm was the case that Jan's time up.
Yeah.
When you make a deal, pact with this, when the devil, in this case, they believe the devil came to town and collected his soul, met him at that church.
I'm telling you, Bob, you don't make a pact with the devil. You also don't get involved with fiddle battles.
No.
With the devil as well. When will people learn their lesson about this stuff, Bob? It seems like there's time and time again throughout history, we have people messing with the devil as far as pacts and fiddle contests. When will they ever learn, Bob? When will they ever learn? I don't know. I mean, what's so hard to tell the devil, you know, I'm not going to partake here? What's so hard about it?
What's even more interesting, if you go out there when these deck of cards fell, there's actually 4 patches of stone and grass area around Waikabe where the church is.
Yeah.
And each one is represented, they say, of an ace of a different suit of cards.
Mm-hmm.
From when they fell out of Jan's pocket.
Yeah. I'm just saying, don't mess with any of that stuff, Bob. Don't mess with any of that. I know you don't. I'm just letting people know out there. Don't mess with it.
Gonna get it collected someday.
Yeah. Well, careful out there, guys.
All right. Last story, folks, and we're gonna call it a night. So count.
Yeah.
Your favorite cryptid of all time.
Oh no! What's this involved now, Bob?
A certain feline.
Oh, Yolcat.
Yolcat.
How's Yolcat tie into it? It's not even Christmas time, Bob.
It's not. But there's the story.
You have a story
of Dartmoor.
Okay.
Called the Beast of Dartmoor.
Really.
And the Beast of Dartmoor has been known
what?
As a giant cat-like feline creature.
Wow. All
right. This story
hit me with it, Bob.
From,
I'm excited.
This story comes to us from Atlas Obscura. For years, blurry photos and photographs and reported sightings of a big cat in Dartmoor, a massive southwestern English park, have emerged. There were also the dead animals that would pop up from time to time, gored by some type of beast. And while it was unusually thought of a big cat of some kind, no one ever could figure out what. Big cats are not native to the area, so you're not going to find panthers or cougars or bobcats, whatever it might be. And none were known to exist in the park, and the sightings of mysterious animal, other than one that emerged in the 1980s later to be christened as the Beast of Dartmoor. But over time, they may have figured out what exactly the Beast of Dartmoor was. But they're saying that there was some sort of werecat creature, much like how we have the Beast of Bray Road here, is the Beast of Dartmoor. So we've even got a cryptid sighting in this
episode. Okay, Bob, let's break it down here, though. How big, did they say in the story how big this cat exactly
big,
is?
Big, very big.
Bigger than, like, a cat we see around.
Yeah,
here.
It's not going to be like you can go walk around and see, you know, a normal house cat. It's
no, but Yolcat is known to be as tall as houses, Bob.
Yeah.
As tall as houses. So I'm just wondering if these cats are as tall as Yolcat, who supposedly.
Yeah, it's a little smaller than.
A little smaller than Yolcat.
It's probably smaller than Yolcat, but this is the closest thing.
Of course.
The Yolcat.
Any ties the clothing and eating kids.
No, it just ate things. This okay. one, this is not a fairy.
Well, this is exciting,
you know,
Bob. This is the first. I think this is the first break in the story of Yolcat we had in quite a while.
But the story might have been solved.
What?
So a few years back, newspaper reports. Excuse me. This story was written a while ago, and they were about it being solved. The Beast of Dartmoor, the newspaper reports, was probably several beasts of Dartmoor, and originated in 1978 after a circus owner named Mary Chipperfield released them into the wild. So the zoo Chipperfield ran in nearby Plymouth was shutting down, and Chipperfield, then a well-known animal trainer, opted into releasing her favorite pumas, two males and a female, into the wild rather than forced to make them adapt to a new home. Two other pumas were transferred to a zoo in Dartmoor. Years later, the story behind the zoo's revival would inspire the 2011 film We Bought a Zoo. But Chipperfield also broke no crimes in the process. Releasing exotic animals into the wild was not a crime in England until 1981. So her plan, such as it was apparently worked, and all the time the Beast of Dartmoor was nothing more than a few pumas that Chipperfield released into the wild versus giving up her favorite pumas.
So, okay, now here's the thing. I'm all, as again, debunking thing is good, but I think there's more to this story, Bob. I think, you know, I don't believe in the science of this story. I think Yolcat is actually out there, Bob. I think this is Yolcat.
So you don't think it was a pack of pumas that somebody released into the wild?
It's Yolcat, Bob. It's got to be Yolcat. I know Yolcat when I hear about Yolcat.
You are the world's foremost leading expert in Yolcat.
This is Yolcat making a surprise appearance here in Bob After Dark.
Absolutely.
Always good to hear about Yolcat.
And basic May at this point.
It's just Christmas has come early.
Christmas has come.
Yolcat is back.
Absolutely.
Well, this is exciting, Bob.
Very much.
And I think you're living on a high note. That's a great story right there, Bob.
That's a great story.
So the Moors.
The Moors of England.
The next destination.
We got to make an appearance. We have to, because it's a beautiful, like, eerie place. And you got stories of ghosts, weird rock formations, and a cryptid.
do people still? I know it's big for people to visit, but there's still people living there, right?
Well, they have like little villages out there. I mean, people live there and do their day to day. Most people that live out there are like farmers or, you know, preachers or stuff like that. You don't, there's not like, you know, big business out there by any means. At least from what I've seen, it doesn't look like, you know, a big suburb or whatever. It's like a countryside.
Yeah. Well, I would think by now, too, with all the buzz about it being a very nice place to visit, kind of a touristy place. You think by now, though, Bob, they have to have it. They have to have a gift shop. I would just think.
I'll look into it and let you know.
Yeah, please do.
Do you have anything you want to add before we call it a night?
You know, Bob, I as always, great time here on Bob After Dark. I'm glad we could fix Yule Cat, tie Yule Cat into some part of the story here. It's fantastic. But yeah, the Moors of England, some nights, you know, here in the region, it gets foggy. And when it gets foggy now, I always think about
the Moors of England. Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. I'm Bob, and on behalf of Count Panic, we just want to wish you guys all good night. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.